Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect Purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Horse rat pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Sports Radio 95, the game. Braves underway in the final game against the Nationals at Truist Park. Early 1-0 Nationals lead. We'll see if the sort of Braves can pull another one out here and continue on. 33 games to go. And, hey, listen, whatever they do, I'm good with it. I'm happy with these guys. I'm cheering on a team that I did not expect to see at this point in the season. But, you know, hey, go guys and let's go get them. And let's see if we can't have a little bit of fun down the stretch of this baseball season. I've got some college football bowl predictions coming up for you. And if you missed our interview with Will McFadden, who's the senior editor of AtlantaFalcons.com, we're going to replay that in about 20 minutes. And I think it's interesting. You'll find he takes us inside the locker room. We talk about, you know, kind of the mood of the team, what he's hearing on the team, I ask him up front about, you know, did they, you know, is it felt that they missed an opportunity not playing the starters in the preseason? And we'll get his take on all of it. You know, what Raheem Morris is saying as we head towards 2 weeks from today, the opening game against the Pittsburgh Steelers. Let's go to Steve here. He joins us on the program. Hey, Steve, welcome to the show.
How's it going, John?
Good, man.
That's good to hear, man. But I think that we need to take a look at what piece of paper you're talking about. What paper are the Falcons better than the Steelers on? Head coach, offense, defense? Where? Yeah. Special teams?
Offensive defense. Yes, they're better offensively and defensively, yes.
Come on. Definitely not defense, John. Stop it. I mean, the Pittsburgh Steelers defense is going to continue to be a dominant force in the game.
Yes, they are. Falcons defense is just as good. I mean, how many Pro Bowlers do the Steelers have? How many Pro Bowlers do the Steelers have on defense? Look, the Steelers may end up, Steve, Steelers may end up last in their division.
Absolutely not, John. Absolutely not.
You think they're better than they're not even in the Ravens
league. The Bengals are definitely better than the Browns. The only team
they are not better than the Bengals.
Might be better. We're not better than the Bengals? Based off of what?
No, Joe Burrow alone makes the Bengals better than you, than the Steelers.
All right, so you continuously sleeping on Russell Wilson. You don't like Justin Fields.
No, the Steelers have had a great thing. I think they're a 500 ball club.
500? Come on, yeah. John. We won 10 games last year with nobody at quarterback.
Yeah, well, they got nobody at quarterback again this year.
So you think, and I can respect that. So we at least a 10-win team again, based off of the defense.
I don't
alone.
Know. In that division, I'm telling you, it's going to be – that division is a slog now. I think it's probably the best division. It may be the toughest division in the NFL. I mean, that division's hard. You can live in whatever world as a Steelers fan you want to live in. That's fine. And we'll see what happens here. I mean, it's going to be a really good game. But if you think the Steelers are walking in and taking our lunch money, I got news for you.
I think it's going to be a drubbing, Jack. I don't think you guys have a chance. And as far as the crowd coming out, I'll be surprised if it's 40% Falcons fans. I'll be surprised if it's
40%. Oh, stop it. I mean, that's just plain stupidity. Stop. Steve, come on now. Don't come on the air and just spew that. Do you not know that the Falcons sold out season tickets for the first time in 20 years because there's so much excitement in town? You probably don't. You know, do you not understand that they sold single game tickets? What, the Steelers are going to come and take over our – no, they're not. And if you don't understand that, I can't help you.
No, I understand that completely. I was actually going to be a Falcons fan or a season ticket owner. I thought about it. Yeah. Not because I like the Falcons, though. The team is going to get those tickets are going to generate a lot of money. And just like every other year, whenever the Steelers come to town, we're going to dominate the stadium. And we're going to win.
No, they're not going to dominate the stadium.
It's going to be a good game, though.
They're just not. You're missing. This is the same group, and I appreciate the call, Steve. Thanks. This is the same group of people. No, I appreciate it. I just got to move on. I'm just not going to hear any of this balderdash. This is the same group of people. Atlanta's a bad sports town. Those people drive me nuts. Atlanta's a bad sports town when they're not going to support a crap team any more than Pittsburgh's going to support a crap team. When the Pirates were crap, no fans went. Why? Because they were crap. And so, you know, they would get a million fans because why? Because that team stunk. When the team was good, guess what they did? Oh, they went to the games. Why don't Falcons fans go to the Steelers games and pack the stadium at Heinz Field when the Falcons come to town? Because no self-respecting Falcons fan would move to Pittsburgh. We're not moving there. Pittsburgh moves here. It's not like there are truckloads of fans flying down from Pittsburgh for this game 2 weeks from now. No, they already live here. Because they moved here. It's unbelievable. Pittsburgh fans. It's not, okay. Just you wait and see. And we'll see who's right. That's all I can tell you. You Falcons fans all know what I'm talking about. We're not. No, we're not letting them take over our stadium. That's not happening. I heard that last year with the Packers. The Packers are going to take over the stadium. Oh, my God. And I go, Pack, go. I got into the game, and there are maybe 10,000 Packer fans. And there's 62,000 Falcons fans. I'm like, oh, yeah. Nice takeover there, pal. Yeah, okay. Real takeover. I have some bold predictions of college football that I want to weigh in on here, and it's my last chance to get them out. So, Eric, are you ready for this? I'm going to just throw these at you, and you tell me if I'm. You just say you're off your rocker or I'm onto something, okay?
You're off your rocker.
Okay. Well, that's all. You know what? That may be true. Earlier, we were talking about Mike Norvell and all the pressure that suddenly is ramping up on him. Of Mike Norvell at Florida State, of Billy Napier at Florida, and of Mario Cristobal at Miami, of those three, and of course, there are, what, four other major college programs. There's seven in Florida, but of those three major ones there, Napier and Cristobal and Norvell, two of the three will not be head coaches at those schools next year. Yes or no?
You are dead on. That is correct.
Number two, there will be no unbeaten teams by the end of the season.
No, there will be at least one. It may not be in the – so are we talking Power Five only?
No, we're talking about the national champion.
No, there'll be one. Yeah.
Wow, you think somebody's getting through that with it? They're going to get to 16-0.
Yeah, one of your Big Ten schools, maybe the one that plays in the horseshoe.
Yeah, I don't see that happening.
They're loaded. John.
Ohio State's going 16-0.
They're loaded. They can get to the final game at 15-0. So yes,
they're just going to power their way through Texas and Georgia, and they're just going to run everybody off the field?
Yeah, they have a possibility, yes.
Yeah, I don't see that happen. There will be, matter of fact, I don't even think Ohio State will get through the regular season. They could go to Eugene and lose to Oregon. I think, you know, Ohio State's good. Don't get me wrong, they're really good. Penn State, I think, is as good as Penn State's the team nobody in the Big Ten's talking. Nobody's talking about. Penn State's loaded. Boys and girls, Penn State is loaded. You're not paying attention. Again, there are going to be teams that you're not paying attention to. Penn State is loaded. Do you not? Okay. It's like people don't even bother to study what they've got coming. You know Julian Fleming's on Penn State. Who? Oh, my God. You know they've got Nick Singleton. Who? Okay. All right. Never mind. There will be 5 to 7 legitimate candidates for the final two playoff spots, all almost dead even in their resumes.
Yes.
this is going to be so much fun. There are going to be so many people screaming going into Selection Sunday. We deserve it. No, we deserve it. No, we deserve it. Oh, my God. I mean, the committee is going to make a lot of fans FSU angry this year by leaving them out. And by the way, because of that, there's going to be an immediate call to go to 16 teams. After four teams get left out, who all think that they got shunted down to bowl games and that they got screwed over here, and the ACC only gets one team in, for example, there's going to be an immediate call to go to 16 teams. Yes or no?
Immediate call. There'll be immediate wishing and wanting. Whether it happens, I don't understand. But absolutely. The team number 13 and 14, they're going to be leading protests.
You betcha. North Carolina and Virginia will publicly join Florida State and Clemson in demanding to get out of the ACC.
Virginia, yes. I'm not going to roll with North Carolina yet.
I think they already have started, so that's why I think this is a pretty safe prediction, because I think North Carolina and Virginia are already talking to the Big Ten. They're already having conversations. And the Big Ten is very – the Big Ten doesn't care that much about Clemson or Florida State. They love –
because of the basketball.
North Carolina – no. What they love is 11 million people in North Carolina and 11 million people in Virginia. They love 22 million people that they can put the Big Ten Network into. That's what they love.
You are a businessman at heart, John. You're in the wrong business.
That's what the – why do you think Rutgers is in the league? Because they
New
love
York
Rutgers.
Market. The New York market.
Oh, that's right.
Oh, I know.
I mean
– you know, trust me. John, my whole family, when Maryland left the ACC for the Big Ten, they all had to swallow it's all about the Big Ten money. Yes, they all swallowed it.
Why is Maryland in? Because of the Baltimore-Washington television market? Ah, that's right. Yes. Yes. Why are USC in? Oh, L.A.? Yes. Washington-Seattle? Yes. It's about television market, isn't it? Yes. It's about television market. There will be – I'm going to expand on this coach thing. Okay. There are going to be at least two head coaches fired, not including Miami and Florida, from the following list of teams. At least two fired. USC, Oklahoma, Clemson, or out, not fired, but just out. Ohio State, are you listening to me?
I'm writing these names down, yeah.
Notre Dame, okay. LSU, well, not LSU, because Brian Kelly's not going anywhere. But I'll just leave it at those. At least two, because I'm going to tell you something. I think Ryan Day is walking on ice.
He's going to walk on ice all the way to 14-1 or 15-0, so he's safe.
Yep,
Marcus Freeman is going to be fine at Notre Dame. Lincoln Riley, you got to win some games.
Yep, but Ryan Day's got to – this is the season Ryan Day has to kind of seal the deal. He's lost three straight times to Michigan. That just does not play. This is what costs – certain guys, Jim Tressel just couldn't beat Michigan, out. Lloyd Carr couldn't beat Ohio State, out. If you can't win that game – because down here, some fans don't understand quite yet the enormity of that game up there with those two fan bases. It is beyond ginormous, okay? It almost eclipses the national title game. It's so big. I mean, it's like they'd rather win that game than the national championship. And when you lose that four times in a row, they're going to be like, yeah, that ain't going to fly here. So, I don't know.
Well, it won't fly this year because they lost 20 guys in the NFL. They got a new head coach, but he's going to beat them this year. Ohio State, I think they're going undefeated through the regular season, John. We will talk about this
a lot. They may well. Look, they've got a loaded lineup. I have no doubt about that. I'm not sure. See, here's the problem with transfer quarterbacks. The problem with transfer quarterbacks is that you can't know, like you saw DJU. I just don't think DJU is all that good anyway. But anyway, you can't know how they're going to succeed in a new environment. You could have a guy who's a terrible quarterback, or not a very good quarterback, who goes to a new place and flourishes, right? I mean, Haynes King was no good at A&M. Look at him now. Bo Nix was no good at Auburn. Look what he did at Oregon, right? I mean, Michael Penix was a runner. Look what he did at Washington. So you could go someplace and flourish. You could also do the reverse, which is go someplace and die.
And if he struggles, if the transfer struggles, they've got three five-stars. Five stars. One transfer and two that they recruited just waiting.
Sam Hartman flourished at Wake Forest, and then he goes to Notre Dame. You know, I mean, so you can't know. I mean, some guys. So how is Will Howard going to do? Will Howard, who was the starting quarterback at Kansas State, is now the starting quarterback at Ohio State. But the problem with Will Howard was one of the reasons he transferred is he was going to lose his job at Kansas State. He was going to get beat out at Kansas State.
And Julian Saiyan might take his job at Ohio State.
And yeah, I understand that Julian might do that. I mean, he's local, obviously, Georgia high school star. But, you know, which may happen because Kyle McCord left for a reason. You know, and anybody remember that dude? He's now like, where? He's Rutgers, right? And so, I mean, these quarterbacks transfer all over the place. So I don't know how that's going to work out for him. Clemson is an interesting story. This game against Georgia is really important. Clemson really could use a win. Dabo could use a win. Because I think there's a lot of people in Clemson who are saying, okay, we've lost that, whatever we had, we've lost that edge. And I think their belief in Dabo being able to reclaim that edge is waning quickly. And now that Florida State has lost and the ACC is wide open, Dabo has a chance this Saturday to rally and marshal the troops. But if he doesn't do it this year and they wind up with Kate Klubnik at 8-4 or something, yeah, that might they may be having some discussions in Northwest South Carolina. Just saying. On Sports Radio, 92 on the game.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one. Or draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
If your day sounds like...
we need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... you deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame...
Two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the markable fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines Gel Flex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Two weeks from today, Falcons and Steelers. Look, all you Steelers fans who want to jump in here, it's going to be fun to see Steve the Steelers fan. It's kind of enjoyable to me. All right, let's get kind of the inside skinny on the Atlanta Falcons in. And if you're an optimist like me, you believe that there's a really good season of brewing here. And we'll see what is going to happen. I had a chance to speak today to one of the true insiders, Will McFadden, who is the senior editor of AtlantaFalcons.com. His office is there in Flowery Branch. He is there every single morning, every single day, hanging around the team. So if there's somebody kind of on the inside, it's him. Had a conversation about a number of things involving the Falcons, including some of the guys that might or might not make the roster, some of the new guys up to speed, what's going to happen with Taylor Heinicke and more. Our conversation begins with my question about not playing the starters in preseason, and I ask Will McFadden, hey, is this team ready right now for this game in 2 weeks against the Steelers? Are they ready for the season to start right now?
Yeah, I believe that they are, but I say that having the privilege of being able to watch them in practice throughout training camp and the preseason. And so I completely understand the notion, I think, from the fan base about, okay, this is another preseason in which a lot of the starters have not played, significant reps. So if there is some trepidation about, Kirk Cousins kind of coming back, Grady Jarrett, even Troy Anderson, right? Like, I think there are real questions that are born more from, we just haven't seen it. But if you have been able to kind of get up there and watch practice, the first thing that stands out is really just the amount of full team work that Raheem Morris and his staff have implemented here that is kind of different from anything else I've experienced since I began covering the team very closely in like 2017. So they have really not wasted any time, I think, going up in these full kind of 11-on-11 scrimmage periods. They held a full team scrimmage last Wednesday. They, of course, got joint practices against the Dolphins. So there's been a lot of team work this camp. And then on top of that, the tempo set from guys like Kirk Cousins on the offense, and then defensively, like Jesse Bates, A.J. Terrell in the secondary, and then really it's kind of in this linebacker core in the middle there defensively. I think the energy is up. I think the intensity has been really high from kind of the start of camp and all throughout. So for that reason, I do feel like this team is maybe in a better spot going into the season than the fan base might otherwise feel, solely because they just haven't really seen a ton of the starters out there on the field.
Will McFadden, who is senior editor of AtlantaFalcons.com, you mentioned the fans don't get a chance to see these guys, so you be the eyes and ears here. Let's talk about a couple of things. One, you mentioned Kirk Cousins and Grady Jarrett and Troy Anderson. Are they all 100% ready to go?
They totally look ready to go. I mean, they look great out there. Kirk Cousins, I saw him chase down I'm blanking on the name here, but he threw one of his few interceptions all camp and ended up, and I believe it was on his birthday, ended up just chasing the defensive back down the field, sprinting after him. And I mean, internally, I was kind of like, stop Kirk, because that's not where you want to see it. But he obviously looks good to go. He feels good to go. No setbacks have happened. He's been knocked to the ground. He's gotten back up. So he looks great. Grady Jarrett looks, I wrote down in my notes on Wednesday at the scrimmage, vintage Grady Jarrett making amazing plays out there. And then Troy Anderson looks fast. He looks like he's got the most sideline-to-sideline range of any Falcons linebacker since Deion Jones. And, we know when Deion Jones, like early in his career, when he really could cover the whole field, it added just that dynamic element, I think, to Atlanta's defense. So the guys he mentioned, and on top of that, like any of the guys who really came into camp with dinged up in any way, shape, or form, looks good. Kyle Pitts looks really good. The only guys at this point, it looks like Nate Landman, Caden Ellis, Raheem Morris said yesterday, day-to-day on that. Or Friday night, I apologize, day-to-day on those guys. So we'll see kind of what they are looking like in the lead-up to the Pittsburgh game. But right now, everybody looks healthy and kind of good to go.
Justin Simmons and Matthew Judon are going to be up to speed?
I hope so. I would expect they will be. They've not done a ton of work so far with the full team. Matthew Judon has done more, which is understandable, I think, given maybe some of the pre-snap responsibilities of a safety compared to kind of an outside linebacker edge rusher. It's a little bit more lineup and play if you're Matthew Judon, but Justin Simmons has a lot of familiarity in what I expect to be kind of the defensive foundation scheme-wise. So I would really anticipate those guys getting ramped up here over the next couple of weeks. Certainly that first week going into Pittsburgh when it is more game plan oriented, to me, I think that would be a little bit easier to get them fully ready to go. It's a little bit of a probably more a simpler bite to chew off when you're just game planning for one specific team. But they have a ton of experience in this league. They are veteran players and great players for a reason. I would anticipate them no issue week one, good to go.
All right, so we're talking Will McFadden, senior editor at AtlantaFalcons.com, about the Turk here. Natron Brooks, Donovan Mutant, Chris Blair, any of those guys make the 53, in your opinion?
Of the three you just mentioned, I had Chris Blair on my most recent 53-man roster prediction, which went up last week. He is somebody who I think going into the final preseason game, so through the first two preseason games, he was third in the league in the preseason in receiving yards. And he was only third by 3 yards. So that kind of showed, I think, how he has popped really this preseason as kind of a go-to receiver for really any quarterback that's been in the game at the same time as him. But he's done it in a few different ways. We remember back to the Miami game, that kind of 41-yard catch down the right sideline. He's caught some kind of crossing routes that he's then been able to turn upfield and get some yards after the catch. So he is somebody that I think, given the scheme change offensively and we anticipate more 11 personnel, I would look at him as maybe sticking as the sixth receiver behind Kadarius Hodge and Casey Washington as kind of those 4, 5, 6 guys. The other two that you mentioned, I can't remember if it was Mutant or Eifler, but either one of those two guys I think has had an incredible camp at the inside linebacker position. It just so happens that, you know, that group is pretty well set, I think, with your four, and that includes J.D. Bertrand in kind of that interior four. But those two would be prime practice squad candidates, or, you know, if I'm another team around the league, like, and I see kind of what they have done this preseason, they're really strong contenders as well. And then who was, remind me, your third one on that list?
Brooks.
Yeah, Natron Brooks. Natron. So, yeah, that's another one where I feel like the cornerback position is a little bit set when if you're going to have Antonio Hamilton and Kevin King as kind of your fifth and sixth guys there. Now, they've done something interesting with Kevin King, and they've started looking at him a little bit in like a safety, almost jacked, like star linebacker type of Nick Saban big safety role. But that was very recent at the very end of camp. I wonder personally if that has something to do with, you know, DeMarco Helms being out for a significant amount of time per, you know, Raheem Morris. So if they are going to place him on IR and you have an internal candidate who could be maybe your fourth safety and your sixth corner, like that frees you up numbers wise to maybe add somebody somewhere else or keep somebody at one of these other spots. So for that reason, I kind of think that Natron Brooks may be on the outside looking in, even though he had a great second preseason game.
Will McFadden of AtlantaFalcons.com with John Fricke kind of fill in some of the blanks as we head towards the Steelers game. A couple of real quick questions because I wanted to, we got about 5 minutes left and I want to be able to get into a couple other areas. What happens with Taylor Heinicke right now? Is he going to get cut, traded? What's going to happen?
So I think he will stick around, but it's a little bit of an interesting situation, right? Because you've got the third quarterback now, your emergency third quarterback, which would be an extra man on game day on your 48 active players. So you could have 49. But to get him onto the practice squad, you would have to release him. And if you do that, there is always the risk that any one of these teams around the league can decide, hey, Taylor Heinicke has 38 career starts. Like, let's go ahead and add him to the roster as our backup. He can do some good things. So there is that risk-reward element to it, which maybe, as I just likened back to with the Kevin King kind of going at safety, if you can free up an extra spot, maybe that is where somebody like Taylor Heinicke goes. But I totally understand, like, he has not performed the way you would expect a veteran to in preseason. He would be the first to admit it. So his future in Atlanta is a little bit murky at this point in time. I still think he'll make it.
What are the expectations, Will, to take me and the fans listening inside? What are the expectations like inside the locker room? Are they quiet? Are they loud? What is the kind of, you know, the sentiment, the zeitgeist of the team?
Yeah, that's a great question. I've got two kind of parts to this answer. So I think the first is it stems from the head coach, and Raheem is so effervescent and just such a ball of energy, right? Like he's a battery pack. He doesn't require an outlet. He's got the energy all the time wherever he goes. And players are kind of thriving off of that and feeding off of that. And I think it's allowing them to be a little bit more themselves. Drake London especially has kind of said this training camp, like he feels like he's able to be a little bit more true to who he is and just be himself out there on the field, which, you know, players will say that from time to time. I'm sure everyone means it a little bit differently, but I think that is going to be a key element, and that comes from Raheem and just the culture that he's setting. The second part is this is now suddenly like a little bit more of a veteran team than I think we have been used to the last couple of years, especially defensively with the additions of Matthew Judon and Justin Simmons. And I was talking to Lorenzo Carter about this last week after practice, and he was just saying, like, Matthew Judon is one of the few guys in this building defensively that, like, has more experience than Lorenzo Carter in this league. And so in these interstitial moments, in these quiet moments in the locker room, I get the sense that these guys are all just really talking ball. Like, they are just kind of sitting down, asking each other questions, you know, hey, is this how you're seeing this? Or when you were in Baltimore, like, what did you guys do here? And it kind of does feel like the players are taking a little bit of the onus upon themselves, knowing that they are set up for something special. And for the guys that have been here the last couple of years, knowing maybe the bad taste that they have in their mouth and that they want to accomplish something that they haven't yet accomplished here in Atlanta. So it's kind of a combination of a lot of energy, but then I do think there's a sense of they need to prove it this season, and they're not going to be able to do that anywhere else but on the field. And so they're taking a lot of this stuff seriously.
All right, I got about a minute, Will. Will McFadden, senior editor, AtlantaFalcons.com. I've been following this team for a long, long time, Will. And in that time, I can honestly say we've had great offenses that carry the defense. 2016, we had great defenses that carry the offense, even as recent as last year. Which side of the ball, in your opinion, this year is better, the offense or the defense?
Ooh, wow, that's a tough one, John. So I'm going to try to be quick. I know we're up against the clock. I think you will see the defense make more impactful plays than we are used to from Atlanta's defense. So I would liken them more maybe to what we saw last year, where you get Jesse Bates making a game-swinging pick, you get a big sack in the red zone, like impact plays. But I think the offense is going to be the floor for what this team can accomplish. And I think they're going to start faster than people think. And I think they're going to be pretty good all year. So splash plays from the defense, and then a sustainable offense is kind of the key to victory for Atlanta this season to me.
Yeah, that was a setup question. And the reason it is, Will, is because in the, this is my 50th year of fandom and 45 years of covering the team. I'm not sure I've seen a team that was more balanced on both sides of the ball. This is one of the reasons I'm so excited about the year, because you can answer, and I'm going to ask the fans here, you can answer offense, defense, you can answer that either way. And yeah. I don't know the last time I could ask that, and you could go either way. It's just not something that, I don't know. My answer is I don't know. let's find out. So yeah, appreciate it, Will.
Of course, John, anytime, man.
Will McFadden of AtlantaFalcons.com. Yeah, because I don't know. This is one of the great things that makes me so excited about the year, is that this team could be equally good on both sides of the ball. Let's hope they are. I'm setting myself up, I know. And a lot of fans are like, hey, you're setting yourself up. You know, it's going to be a fall. Well, if it does, I'll fall with them. But I'm going to go along for this ride here, because I am really excited about what the Falcons can do this year. Quick break, and then we'll head towards the top of the hour on Sports Radio 90 tonight, the game. Yeah, Sports Radio 99, the game on a Sunday here. Thanks to all of you that called in and were part of the program again. Reminder that next Saturday, college football game time, Abe and Garrett will be on 8 to 10, and then Chris Goforth and I 10 to 12. And we'll get into this big college football Saturday that's going to be huge. What, this weekend is going to be so much fun. Hopefully it's half as fun as George Tech had yesterday, beating Florida State. And we get what I think is going to be a wild season going. I was watching, you know, I got the Braves game on here, and the sort of Braves are really struggling to hit today. They got one hit.
Oh, John, you got Roku, huh? Yeah.
Yeah. Mm. And so, I understand. I mean, Strasburg retired. Okay. It's Scherzer. No, Scherzer's not on the team anymore. Oh, it's DJ Hurst. Oh, it's DJ. Who? DJ Hurst? What the hell's a DJ Hurst? Is that like a dude spinning records at the Gold Club? DJ, ladies and gentlemen, DJ Hurst.
And next on to the stage, Matt Olson with the home run. Yay.
Yay. There you go. All right. Well, fine. So at least we'll see how the sort of Braves do. And again, this is why it's like, okay, whatever they do is whatever they do. I do know that from the Rumble seat and others, Barstool, Georgia Tech are all they're promoting right now all over the X the return of the team, and I find this they're going to be at Bobby Dodd Stadium in about 45 minutes. The buses will be back, and they want the fans and the students to greet the team, and some people would say, Eric, that's a little bit much. I mean, they won a game and they beat the 10th ranked team in the nation, and you want to celebrate like you won the city. No, you have fun. Georgia Tech hasn't had it's been a minute for Georgia Tech. So I don't have a problem with this. Some people are like, you guys are really gonna, you know, meet the bus? Yes. Of course they are. These guys played a hell of a game. And they played it on national TV. They beat a ranked team. They won a conference game. They threw the ACC into turmoil. And by the way, they won that game. I mean, soup to nuts, they won that game. They were the better team. And so Brett Key deserves a little bit of love. Those guys deserve some applause from their own fans. So why do you have a problem with this? Naysayers. They're probably Georgia fans who are bitter. Because Georgia fans, I love Georgia. See, my team doesn't have a rival. And so, I mean, I do. My Falcons team does. My college team does not have a rival. And so we don't have a rivalry. And so and Georgia's rivals were like 98, I don't know, way like 9 rivals. And so, Eric, when you got rivals, they love to smack talk each other like I do with the Swappers. And so they're throwing shade at the Jackets, and the Jackets fans are throwing shade back at them. So, you know, it's kind of... Look, Jackets fans haven't had a whole lot of shade to throw back at Georgia, right? I mean, I think that's fair to say. And even now, it's probably a bit of a stretch to throw shade at Georgia, considering where Georgia's program is. But at least, I think, for a moment, let Georgia Tech have its sunshine day. I mean, it's fine. And if they beat Georgia State, guess what's going to happen? Guess what's going to happen a week from Monday if Georgia Tech beats Georgia State, which they will, on Saturday? Georgia Tech's going to be 2-0, and Eric, what is Georgia Tech going to be a week from Monday at 2-0?
A nationally ranked team.
A nationally ranked team. That is correct. They will be ranked. And good for them. And good for Brent Key. And you look at their schedule and you say, can they beat Duke? Yes.
They might squeeze in at 25 this week. What do you think? No, they put out. They probably won't.
No,
put
they
out
won't put
rankings.
A poll okay. out. They won't put a poll
right.
out.
Yeah, yeah. You're 2-0, and you. Yeah. Yeah. They're at 21.
No, the first poll
will
come out
maybe?
A week from tomorrow.
Okay.
Yeah, well, actually, it'll probably come out a week from Tuesday.
Gotcha.
They'll let the whole week play out. So it'll be a week from Tuesday.
Right, because that final game is Monday night, and they can't do it.
Monday night, right.
Until that
right.
final game's played.
So it'll be a week from Tuesday, and AP will come out a week from Tuesday. But nonetheless, if they beat Georgia State, which they likely will, and they will probably beat them fairly handily, you know, so they'll be 2-0, and they'll be ranked, and good for Georgia Tech. Because, again... This is all about throwing wrenches into this 12-team playoff, and anybody who said that the 12-team playoff is going to ruin the regular season is just, I think, really missing the point. It makes the regular season, and it makes the regular season because of one of the rules, and one of the rules says that the only teams that get byes are the 4 conference champions. And so there are going to be a lot of teams that have to play home games or even go on the road who are going to be better than maybe a couple of teams that get byes, and all this, it's going to be a mess. We're going to get down to this team has to beat this team, and this team has to beat this team, and oh, what happens if this team loses the title game? Do they drop completely out and are elevated? You know, Alabama loses the title game, but they, you know, do they drop completely out, and does Texas replace them? And I mean, it's just going to be really, it's going to be so much fun. Are you kidding me? Come on, it's going to be a gas. You know, it's going to be a lot of fun. So I'm really looking forward to this. And you can already see where it's going to be kind of an interesting year because the impact of all of these things, of the portal, of the NILs, of the expansions of the leagues is going to impact. Again, 10-2 is going to be a pretty good record. I asked earlier that, you know, is any team going to go unbeaten? And Eric seems to think Ohio State may have the best chance to go unbeaten. I'm not sure that they're going to get through that. I just don't see unbeaten happening. I think to be unbeaten, you're going to have to be almost generational. You're going to have to be, like, really a lot better than everybody else. And I don't think there's a team that's a lot better than everybody else this year, Eric. I think there are teams that are better than everybody else, but how much is a lot? You know what I mean?
Well, you're right. There's a lot of very evenness throughout college football. The difference is that they'll go through the Big Ten while Georgia has to go through the SEC. Now, yes, Penn State's got a loaded roster, but what Penn State does not have is a head coach that can win the big game. I love their head coach, Franklin, but he comes up short against the big guys. So he's got a lot to prove, and if our boss is listening, he's going to cut my mic off. But it's the truth. It's the truth. They come up short in the big games.
Mike Conley would agree with you. Okay? Mike Conley would agree. Look, he would agree with you. But again, he does have to prove that. I mean, okay. I mean, how many coaches are active that actually have national titles? We want to throw James Franklin under the bus. How many coaches are active that have national titles right
now? It's like four or five.
Let's see here. You got Kirby Smart, correct?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Saban's out.
So I'm asking who else.
Wow.
How many coaches are active that have national titles that have to prove themselves, that don't have to prove themselves?
Wow. I'm drawing a blank. Is there anybody else?
See what I'm saying?
LSU. No, LSU's old coach is gone.
Yeah. No. Brian Kelly, no.
No? Oh, man.
Yeah. Ryan Day have a title?
Yeah, because Texas A&M is out. His coach, they're gone. The old Florida State coach, he's out.
Brian Day have to prove himself? He doesn't have a title.
Well, this is he got to do it this year.
Steve Sarkisian have to prove himself? Does he have a title? I'm just asking. Hey, everybody says James Franklin's got to prove himself.
He's got three as an assistant.
Who?
Does that count?
Compared to who? I'm just like, compared to who? Everybody, they all get on James Franklin. I'm like, compared to who? You know? Did I miss it? Somebody, does Kalen DeBoer have a title? I'm just asking. Dan Lanning, does he have a title as a head coach? I'm just throwing it out there. Compared to who? Sharon Moore? I guess I don't. I'm not really sure where people are always on James Franklin.
I know the national championship is a you know, that's one pecking order, but you got to go to their records against top 10 opponents.
Now we're going to change the rules here. I thought it was all about national title. Okay, I mean, isn't that what it's about here? I mean, what is Ryan Day's record against top 10 teams in the national championship game or in the playoffs? You know what it is?
Not good.
Yeah.
But before Kirby broke through, what they kept saying, well, he's winning all the games he's supposed to, but when he's playing Alabama, he's losing. When he's playing LSU, he's losing. That was Kirby's knock until he broke through. That took 4 years.
Okay.
All coaches have to go through that. They go through, okay, you're winning these games that you're supposed to win. You're beating these teams that you're supposed to beat. When you play the big boys, you're losing. When you change that, then we'll talk.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I understand, but again, we'll see how this all kind of plays out this year. And it's going to be a fascinating year because there are going to be teams that jump up. Georgia Tech is just the first, okay? It's not an outlier. They're just the first. And there's going to be plenty. This weekend, you got, you know, I mentioned Kennesaw State's going to be playing its first game, Georgia Tech at Georgia State. Miami's at Florida. Who's winning that game? Oh, Miami is. Really? You think that's a lock, that they're going to go into the swamp and beat Florida? Because I don't think that's a lock.
Yeah, what is a lock? Is whichever coach loses,
yeah, seat gets hotter. Fire.
Seats gets hotter.
Notre Dame at Texas A&M. Oh, beats me. Down at College Station, I think that's a toss-up. Georgia Clemson, certainly Georgia's favorite here. The one thing that would be really interesting is not so much Clemson upsets Georgia, but what if Georgia runs Clemson out of the building like they did Oregon? Boy, Dabo Sweeney. And then, of course, that USC-LSU game, because one of those two teams, USC or LSU, is a fraud. And I don't know which one's the fraud. And you say, well, it's obviously USC. No. It could be LSU is the fraud. If LSU hasn't fixed his defense, Miller Moss and USC may run up and down the field on him. That game's in Vegas. It's going to have a decidedly. I know that people are saying LSU is going. It's like the Steelers fight. LSU is going to dominate the state. Oh my God, guys! I worked in Los Angeles. I worked at USC. It's a 3-hour drive. Okay, it's a 45-minute flight. USC fans are like USC has no USC. They sell out every game. Okay, it's a huge thing. They're gigantic. You know, they're like Georgia. They're big. USC is a huge fan base. Gigantic, millions of fans. Orange County is going to show out for that game. There are going to be a lot of USC fans at that game. A lot. Oh, there's only going to be 10 USC fans at the game because nobody goes to USC. Okay, this is just, you don't understand how it works. USC sells out 93,000 tickets every game. You can't get tickets. They're a big deal in town. Matter of fact, USC is probably the third biggest team, USC football, behind the Lakers and the Dodgers in all of L.A. They're bigger than the Clippers. But you have to live there to understand that. All right. Abe Gordon, top of the hour. Enjoy the week. We're heading towards Labor Day weekend and that big weekend of college football. And, of course, 2 weeks from today, Falcons and Steelers. The NFL is around the corner on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them. Yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.